I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to another episode of Look on the Bright Side. A golden rule in podcasts is never to talk about the weather because you could be listening to this 6 months from now and it'll mean nothing. But it seems really fitting as the sun is streaming in on me right now as I record this intro. A literal bright side for what is the final episode in the current series of Look on the Bright Side. Now that doesn't mean it's a time for reflection. We have two new interviews for you today and we're touching upon two areas we haven't yet explored. We'll be talking to Matthew Burrows, an artist who has launched the Artist Support Pledge. But before that, we're talking food cycle. When the pandemic hit and you halted your normal charity work, what do you do? Do you bunker up and wait for it to pass? Or do you come up with new initiatives? So joining me on Look on the Bright Side today is the CEO of Food Cycle, Mary. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Charlotte. Really delighted to be here today.
And I know it's a really busy time for you at the moment. So even more so, thank you for sparing the time to join us on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely welcome. No, it's really great to be have the opportunity to talk about Food Cycle. So,
well, let's talk about Food Cycle. So this is an existing initiative before the current pandemic. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So Food Cycle, it's an amazing organisation. Effectively, we try to build communities and we do this through the provision of a three-course meal for people who are hungry and who are lonely. And every week, our volunteers gather in a kitchen, having collected surplus food. So this could be wonky carrots, you know, unusual looking vegetables, things that the supermarkets may have rejected or just weren't purchased. So our volunteers will have collected that. They'll take it back to a community kitchen space. And that's where the magic happens, as they look at the ingredients that they have and think, right, what can we cook it into today? And whilst all that is going on, we have volunteers out the front putting together the room in which the meal is going to take place. So they're going to make sure it's beautifully prepped, tables, chairs, cutlery, tablecloths, flowers if we happen to have them. And then our volunteers give a great big warm hearty welcome to people in the local community who for whatever reason want to come to Food Cycle. So we never ask anyone any questions about why they might come, or we don't prod, we don't, you know, make people say I'm really hungry or I'm really lonely. Everybody is welcome at the Food Cycle meal. So typically a meal will serve between 20 to 100 people, depending on the size of the location. So it's really great fun and, you know, just a brilliant experience. And we're around the whole of England. We've got 42 locations and we rely on the most incredible people to step forward to be volunteers.
How wonderful. Now, starting at the start of the process, where does the surplus food come from? Where do you tend to source that?
So we will source surplus food from a huge variety of places. We will go to local greengrocers, local supermarkets. We have relationships with veg box schemes, sometimes with wholesalers. So our meals are vegetarian. They're vegetarian for three reasons. First and foremost, we believe that we can provide our guests with the most nutritious food possible. We think that's absolutely essential, especially when we consider for many of our guests, this might be the only warm meal they'll have in a week. So making sure that it's packed full of vitamins is absolutely essential. The second reason we're vegetarian is for cultural reasons. It means that pretty much everybody, depending on whatever viewpoint, what background they come from, will not object to the food. And thirdly, for health and safety reasons, because we've got volunteers whom we train are cooking in the kitchen, it means we're much less likely to have any health risks in terms of working with the food and with volunteers. So we source our food from a variety of places.
That's so wonderful, because to me it's so clear to see that even at the start of the process, before any food is cooked or served, you're already making a difference, because obviously food waste is such an issue, not just in the UK but across the world. When setting up Food Cycle, is that something that's really important to you?
Yes, certainly in the founding days, when we set up about 10 years ago, food waste was probably at the heart of why Food Cycle existed, because I think people were seeing huge amounts of food waste and retailers weren't really doing a lot with it. I think when volunteers come through Food Cycle, they are sometimes alarmed at the amount of surplus food we're able to rescue. And I think, but by being a part of our movement, they're able to change their own habits at home. And I think that's vital, because 50% of food waste, unfortunately, takes place in our own homes.
I can imagine it really is a wake-up call. Now, casting your mind back to a few months ago when news of the pandemic was just breaking and everything was getting very real very quickly, what were your initial concerns when it came to Food Cycle? Did you see any greater opportunity for Food Cycle to play a role?
Yes, well, the first thing when the pandemic struck is we always first and foremost think of our guests. And our guests are vulnerable people. You know, we 1,500 of them walk through our doors every week, and we conduct a survey once a year, and we know from that, you know, something like 2/3 of them regularly skip a meal, for instance, or they might, 25% of them have mental health problems, 1/3 of them have physical health problems or illnesses. So we recognise, well, they're vulnerable, so we really don't want anything to happen to them as a result of coming and sitting at our community meal. So it was literally the week before lockdown. We don't normally ask our guests for their contact details, but we got the volunteers, we briefed them and said it's really essential. We take a list of names and we take a list of mobile phone numbers. And that was really helpful that we managed to do that, because we decided to quickly move into a food delivery service. So what we've been doing since lockdown begun is effectively taking surplus food, bagging it into parcels, getting the most amazing people to come forward who have been, you know, delivery drivers, bagging that food, collecting that surplus food, and then actually delivering it to our guests' doorstep. And so we've been delivering, on average every week, 2,500 parcels, and feeding over 6,000 people. I'm really proud of the volunteers who've stepped forward to come and help. They've been phenomenal. They really have.
Wow. I mean, I'm not surprised. Just the way that Food Cycle has adapted, Mary, to the current climate, so with such agility and such enthusiasm, really is astonishing. That is really exceptional.
Oh, thank you. No, and it is, honestly, it's testament to our amazing volunteers. They're just so brilliant. They really are. They just love to give. They love to commit. They really love to build community. They all can't wait to get back to cooking, because they love cooking. And we all love sitting around a table and having a really nice chat. So we recognise also that our lovely guests were missing out on having a lovely chat. So more recently, we launched something called Check In and Chat, where when we've taken guest information, so like I said, we've been taking that over the telephone, we filled it in a form, we're holding it in a secure database, but we've asked people, would you like a phone call as well? And so now once people have a delivery service, during that week, we will give them a call. And actually, that's been brilliant because, again, both the volunteers and the beneficiaries have been having a lovely conversation with each other once a week, and just enables people to check in with other people. This new service, something to be taken from COVID, we've developed a new service. And what we're, our plans will be around, you know, just checking the how people are during the week. So I think that will be a continued and really exciting development for us.
Wonderful. So if someone's listening and they're really passionate about all the things that you've mentioned and they really want to get involved, are you still open to volunteers? Where can we go for more information?
Oh, yeah, we're always open to volunteers. So the best place to go is to our website, www.foodcycle.org.uk.
Mary, that is so wonderful. And I think you've really, your passion has really come across here. And we're so grateful to you for spending time on Look on the Bright Side with us. Thank you so much to you and your volunteers, and best of luck in the future.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Charlotte. Take care.
I wish you could bottle up and pass that enthusiasm to everyone. What a woman. Our final interview today is all about artists. Some of the workers hit hard by the lockdown regulations. So joining me on Look on the Bright Side today is the founder of Artist Support Pledge, Matthew Burrows. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So when news of lockdown was starting to come out, what were your first concerns as an artist yourself and also for other artists?
Actually, on the morning of the 16th of March, I'd been sending out and replying to emails from people who I'd been working with, doing projects with, and these were all coming to an end because they'll be going to be happening. Either they were going to happen during the period that was announced to be locked down or, you know, shortly after. So it didn't seem like a good idea to continue with them. And at the same time, whilst I was sort of sitting at my computer answering these emails, I could see messages coming up on my phone from friends and colleagues who were saying things like exhibition cancelled, work cancelled. And it seemed like nearly every other message was the same, you know, whether that would have been art friends or whether it was galleries who were saying, you know, galleries closing last day tomorrow. And there was actually kind of a wave in a way of panic, not so much panic, but desperation. I think it was more than that. It was sort of, okay, this is, you know, as serious as I've ever known it for artists. I couldn't think of a period where potentially artists were going to have to go for not only 3 months, the period of lockdown with no income at all, but potentially months after that, because it wasn't going to just suddenly start up again. And also I knew that there just wasn't going to be any sort of support structure for artists. They always fall through the gaps. So, and a lot of artists work in gig economies. So that there aren't the normal sort of pay structures and support structures from industry there. So I knew this was a pretty desperate situation for a lot of artists, you know. And initially it was just my thoughts were really about the immediate community of artists I work with and around. And I thought, okay, how, you know, what can I do to help in that situation? And not only to help them, but to help myself. You know, it was literally, I thought, okay, how can I help by helping myself? And I thought of it as a kind of example thing. So the premise of our support pledge really is about how to be community, leading by example, and then showing other communities how you do that. So it's a series in effect. What our support pledge actually is a series of interconnected and networked communities across the globe. And if they all buy into and agree to the terms of the code of conduct and behave within the spirit of generosity and the culture of our support pledge, then it's a very effective support structure and a very effective and rapidly growing economy. So it works really well if you sort of play by the cultural rules, if you like. And that's one of the things that's, I think, really interesting about it. It's not a sort of centralized system where it's kind of policed. It's a code of conduct that's about customs and about kind of a moral contract, if you like. And you sign into that moral contract just by taking part. And it's on your conscience whether you do it for the good of the community or just do it for your own ends, but actually always knowing that the good of the community is actually in your favor. So it's a sort of interesting shift in a way, because it's not pure altruism, but also it's not a system where it's just gain for your own ends. So it's about feeding yourself, but also supporting others around you to be fed too.
I mean, the overarching message that I'm getting from this is that it's all about community. How does Artist Support Pledge actually work?
I mean, as a formula, it's very simple. It's no more than £200. You post an image of your work, whatever that is, any media, you can be a maker or an artist, on your Instagram account. You detail the work, what it is. You can't charge more than £200. That's the upper limit of what you can actually charge. You can charge less than £200 or $200. We like to round it up to 200 because it's easy to work with. Mm-hmm. And then you ask for the buyer to just message you if they're interested. And you add the hashtag artist support pledge. So that takes your work automatically to that hashtag page on Instagram. So all that buyers have to do is to search hashtag artist support pledge, and they will see over 250,000 posts of artwork. And if anything interests them, they just click on it, message the artist, and then arrange for payment and shipping. It's very simple, very straightforward. But the caveat in all this, the thing that makes it kind of interesting and stops it being kind of a mere marketing platform, is that when you reach £1,000 worth of sales, the pledge is that you spend £200 of that £1,000 on buying another artist or artist's work. So there's always, you're always giving 20% back into your economy and into the support of your peers and your friends and your colleagues. So anyone who's doing quite well on it becomes a support mechanism for others.
It's so fascinating because, like you said, on the surface, you know, perhaps this is something that you might see elsewhere. But when you start to dig a little bit deeper and you learn more about the sort of the microeconomy behind it and also the ethics behind it, it's really quite astonishing. How many artists have gotten involved?
It's actually hard to know the amount of artists because what we do know is there are sort of around 55,000 followers on the account, on the at our support pledge account.
Oh, wow.
And there are 270,000+ posts.
Goodness me.
Obviously, not everyone follows the account who uses the hashtag. And of course, when it comes to buyers, many, many people are buying work that are never recognized on the account or on the hashtag because they dip in and out of it. There's no way of tracking them. And it's still growing day by day, which is kind of interesting because we didn't know initially when I started it, I thought, could we get to 1,000 posts would be amazing. And now I'm thinking, can we get to 1,000,000? We are looking at developing this further. And actually what's very exciting, and this is a kind of first, you're hearing this on your podcast today.
Ooh, fresh off the press.
Is that we've been collaborating with Google Lab and MIT Media Lab in the United States. I've been doing that started doing that about just over a month ago now. And it's been announced today. So it's very exciting. This relationship of trying to find a technological relationship and solution to a kind of fairer, more equal society.
This is, you know, incredibly inspiring to listen to, and it's really resonating with me, as I'm sure it will with all the listeners. Where can we go for more information and how can we get involved?
Well, at the moment we have a website, which is artistsupportpledge.com. So easy to remember, it's just .com.
Matthew Burrows, founder of Artist Support Pledge. Thank you so much for joining me on Look on the Bright Side.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening and taking a bit of time to look on the bright side with us. Please help us to spread the good news by sharing Look on the Bright Side with a friend or family member. Let's help everyone through this tough time and beat it together. If you've got a story you think we should be featuring, then send us an email. We'll put the address in the podcast description for you. We end this week and this series with the words of the great Nelson Mandela. Our human compassion binds us the one to the other, not in pity or patronizingly, but as human beings who have learnt how to turn our common suffering into hope for the future.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.